Hello, everyone. You're listening to America Meditating Radio. We collect wisdom, inspire each other, and empower hearts on demand 24/7. I'm Sister Jenna, host of the syndicated America Meditating Radio. Join us as we talk one-on-one with leading experts who answer life's most compelling questions, because in a world of uncertainty, we need answers right here, right now. America Meditating Radio, a show for everyone to learn more about this amazing thing called life.
As we saw, and as you can verify when you look up into the sky tonight, there's objects out there and there's space. That's basically what the world consists of. And the two dimensions are within you. And humans have become lost in one. So we are here to realize that dimension. It cannot be realized in the future. It cannot be made into an object of a search, because it's here now. The moment you're looking for it, you create a future. Now, what is future? It's a thought form. Apart from that, there is no future except as a thought form. It cannot come except as now. So it's now, the arising of space consciousness, or the realization of space consciousness, is here now. For example, it happens when you acknowledge not only the words that you hear. Acknowledge simply means pay attention. Notice. Just as noticing here, there are two dimensions just the same as when you look up into the sky at night, you will find there are two dimensions. There are the words here, and there's a silent space or stillness in which the words happen.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to America Meditating Radio. I'm your host, Sister Jenna. And that was the wonderful Eckhart Tolle, The Power of Now, on Monique Rhodes' album. Eckhart has a new book out, everyone, called The New Earth. And it's quite an interesting read. It's deep. It's definitely for folks who are either awakened or are saying, I am ready to get awakened. Can somebody tell me something that makes some sense? Well, I hope today finds you well, and I hope you heard my interview with Ainsley MacLeod, who's got his new book out on April 8th, basically about the soul's journey. And I just loved Ainsley because he I think he opened up a portal of deeper thinking and acceptance as to why our lives unfold the way that they do. And so Ainsley will take you on a intriguing journey about the soul and why we feel the way we do, what's going on, why are certain people in our lives, what does it mean? He's got endorsements from songwriter and singer, songtress India Ari, Dr. Oz, Martha Beck, Oprah Winfrey, and they've all basically really, really looked at Ainsley's work and have found a very big portal, a very big opening for them. So if you haven't had a chance to listen to our show with Ainsley, please go to Blog Talk Radio and follow the show now for you to get an idea of when you can tune in. The title of the book is The Old Soul's Guidebook, Who You Are, Why You're Here, and How to Navigate Life on Earth. And I'm going to be looking forward to hosting Ainsley at the Meditation Museum when he comes this way for his book tour. Today gives me great pleasure to welcome our upcoming guest, Ken Honda. Ken is a money and happiness expert, best-selling author of more than, listen to this everyone, 110 self-development books in Japan, selling more than 7 million books since 2001. His latest book is called Happy Money, The Japanese Art of Making Peace with Your Money. Ken studied law at Waseda University in Tokyo and entered the Japanese workforce as a business consultant and investor. Now, Ken's writings bridge the topics of finance and self-help, focusing on creating and generating personal wealth and happiness through deeper self-honesty. I love that. He's the highest-paid professional speaker in Japan, and his seminars attract over 1,000 people to sell-out audience within even an hour. Ken is the first person from Japan to be voted into the Transformational Leadership Council. It's a group of personal and professional development leaders, and I can't begin to tell you how pleased I am to welcome Ken Honda to the show. Hi, Ken. Welcome. Konnichiwa.
Hello. Hello. Konnichiwa. Sister Jenna, can you hear me well?
I can hear you perfectly well. Ken, I've traveled to over 92 countries, and do you know what two of my favorite countries are?
Guess what?
Guess out of 92 countries, two of my favorite countries, one, Japan, two, Egypt.
Oh, really? Thank you so much.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah,
yes.
Me too. I'm looking really forward to hearing about your perspective on money, because money is a big form of energy. It runs our lives, or at least we think it runs our lives. We actually are supposed to run money, but right now the way that we are conditioned consciously, we've allowed this little piece of paper or plastic card or coins to dictate the way that we should think. So I'm really looking forward to our discussion today.
Thank you so much. I feel so honored to be here.
Oh, thank you. Ken, I understand that you semi-retired at the age of 29. And you started a self-publishing and distributing a free booklet of essays, which actually reached more than 1 million people. Could you tell us a little bit about, you know, what led you to pursue a writing career?
Yes. Let me share with you about my background. My father was a very successful tax accountant, and he taught me everything about money. So instead of working for big corporations, which many Japanese people do, and most of my friends started working for big companies, instead I went different ways. So I started my business in my very early 20s, and I did consulting, accounting, investing, so I can retire at the age 29, which is kind of unusual in Japan too. And I focused on child raising for 4 years. And during that, I wonder if there's any way for parents to live, or if there's any way to live more happy way. And I realized it has to do with money. I asked my friends, why don't you have a few years for your child? But I said, no, I can't do that for money. They have enough money to retire a couple of years or so. But they can't because they're so afraid if they can keep the job or if their money runs out. So I said, why don't you read my essays? I wrote a few pages of an essay. All my friends liked it, so I started writing more. And my friends loved more copies, so I staple them every day and give them to my friends. And one day, I got four hands, and I complained to my friends, and one of my friends said, why don't you hire a printer? So I did, and the printer came. I only wanted 200 copies, but he said the minimum is 500. That sounded like too many copies, but I said, oh, it's okay. And he said, the typing costs money, the paper doesn't. So if you do 1,000 instead of 500, it becomes cheaper. And I said, okay, why not? And he said, 1,000, 3,000, not much difference. I said, really?
Right.
But I signed a contract. And a few weeks later, two trucks came in front of my house full of boxes. And I didn't know how many boxes 3,000 books are, booklets.
Mm.
But I went crazy because there's no room. So I had to empty one room and put all the boxes in. I was so afraid my wife come back at the evening, and then what would she say? You know, I can't say, somehow when I came home, all the boxes are in here, you know, but those are my boxes. So I had to be honest with her, and I said, I'm so sorry, I made mistakes in ordering. She was a gentle soul. She is a gentle soul. So she forgave me and said, as long as you get rid of them in 1 month, I'm not complaining. I said, okay. So I started giving away 10 copies to my friends and 100 to other friends. I got rid of all the boxes. And what's interesting is that people loved my small essays. This is just a 26-page booklet about on money and happiness. And later, a publisher called me, and they wanted me to write a book. That is the beginning of my career as an author. I never thought of becoming an author in my life. I was I was doing consulting, accounting, but people loved this idea of happiness and money.
Ken, don't you love when we actually do something and it turns out to be a grand success when we weren't planning it?
I'm still overwhelmed by what's happening in my life because I never thought I'm talented in writing. I love speaking to large groups, so I think it's my gift. But writing, I write as if I'm talking, so it's very easy. I write one book every 2 months or 3 months.
Well, you're inspiring me to start doing that because I do talk a lot. All right.
And I have somebody to transcribe it, and then I can edit it, so it becomes a book.
Oh, yeah, makes it. Oh, you need a good editor.
Yes.
Let's talk about your new book, Happy Money. What's the difference between happy money and unhappy money?
So as a son of a very successful tax accountant, I greeted so many of his clients. When I was 10 or 12, I greeted my father's client and asked them all the embarrassing questions. How's your profit doing and how's your business going? And since then, I have met so many entrepreneurs and successful people. And I realized that there are two kinds of people, one who are doing well and seem very happy, and the other one feel depressed or just they're frustrated with life. And I realized that people with happy attitude tend to have happy money, which is, for example, a 10-year-old boy saved up enough money, allowance money, to buy roses for his mother, or the money you make out of what you do. So the money that you receive with love and appreciation and friendship, that is happy money. On the other hand, the money that you earn out of doing what you hate or receive in frustration, like alimony. So if you receive in anger and frustration, that becomes unhappy money. So you can picture some friends with happy money and other friends and relatives with unhappy money.
Now, would you say that the unhappy money is coming from an interpretation?
Yes. And also, in the context, one time I was asked to show a wallet to a stranger. A woman talked to me, and she said, "Can I see your wallet?" That's like a cultural thing in Japan. People want to see what kind of wallet I have. And she said, she took some money out of my wallet, and she said, she was checking, and she said, "This is okay, this is okay, this is okay." And asked her what she was doing. And she said, "Ken, your money is okay. That's good news." And I asked her, "What is it?" She said, "You must be making a lot of people happy. That's why your money is smiling in your wallet." And she said, people who are taking advantage of other people or people doing the jobs they don't like and receive money, your money is crying or angry. So I see things that other people don't see. And I said, "That's very interesting." And since then, I've been thinking, is my money smiling or not? In that sense.
Wow. Wow. So what you're saying is that having a happy money mindset will promote prosperity?
Yes. And that's also something I learned from my mentor, who's called Warren Buffett of Japan. He is one of the most wealthy individual investor in Japan. He was my mentor. And I asked him, "What are the secrets of success and money?" And he said, "There are only two things. Arigato the money when it comes in, and arigato the money when it goes out." In other words, when you receive money, thank the money.
Thank you.
Yes. When the money goes out of your life, when you spend money, also say thank you. That's it. It's so simple, like very zen. And I asked him, "What does this mean?" And he said, "Try it. Otherwise, you don't get it." And I tried it for a week or so, and I started to feel happy about anything. And he later explained to me, "You cannot worry about money and appreciate about money at the same moment, because our mind can focus only one thing at a time. That means if you start focusing on appreciation in your life, you cannot focus on the worries of money or worries about life. So by creating the flow of appreciation and gratitude, you, without knowing, go into the flow of happy money." And since then, I've been teaching to hundreds of thousands of people, and I'm hearing incredible results.
But you are. In the West here in America, there tends to be more of an external approach towards the way people look at money and honor money. A lot of times is, "I want more money," but nobody's passionate about how they're going to get it. Or a lot of people get into a profession or into some sort of a task because they sense this will bring them a lot of money. So there's still, to me, like a limited approach as to what money is. There are so many wealthy people today that seem to have a lot of money. I don't want to even name a few. They even run countries. But they are unhappy inside, and it surprises us. How does someone like that get so much money if they seem to be not so grateful? They don't seem to be arigato about money or anything, but yet there is a lot of resources in their lives. Is there a reason why that sort of abundance finds personality like that?
You know, abundance is a very tricky thing because we compare with other people without knowing. So even if you're making, for example, $1 million a year, which is a very handsome income, but if you're making that kind of money, you begin to associate with friends who are making $10 million. So instead of appreciating that you're flying first class, you start feeling the complaint inside that you don't own a private jet. So this this greed inside is limitless. And also, we love comparing with other people. So unless you focus on appreciation, you tend to focus on comparison with other more rich friends. And that way, you feel like something, you don't have something inside. So the tragedy is the wealthy people feel that they don't have enough because their friends always have more. One of my friends was complaining that he has only a helicopter. He cannot, you know, he doesn't have a private jet. So if you if you just forget how to appreciate, you just throw yourself into the hole of misery. And
mm-hmm.
the thing is about the middle class too. Middle class people are also feeling like somebody is taking advantage of you, or that somebody gets ahead and they are left behind. So also you feel frustrated. And also the financial challenged people, they also feel like somebody is doing a bad job or running the country or the economy. So they feel that they become the victim of the world. So everybody,
right.
you know, is feeling life is unfair and,
right.
and feeling miserable around money.
Ken, don't you think that because of our intentions
mm-hmm.
in our actions, it's leaving a recording that my motives in what I'm about to think, say, or do is mixed with a lot about I, me, and mine. This is all about me at the end of the day. And
yeah.
so that means we haven't really nurtured the soul. We haven't really nurtured our inner being. And so there is a sense of inner scarcity
yeah.
within
mm-hmm.
our own personality vibration. Now, I
yes.
know that in your book, you talk about the myth of scarcity.
Yeah.
Could you elaborate on that for us a little bit more?
Yes. I first learned this concept from my friend and mentor, Lynn Twist, who was
mm-hmm.
so active in Humber Project, and now she's doing Pachamama Alliance to conserve environment. And we are so brainwashed that there's not enough. So we live in a zero-sum society that when somebody has more, we have less. So this mentality of scarcity is almost like we're playing a whole big musical chair and there are not enough chairs. So we are so frustrated and rushed to find the right seat, but that comfortable seat is taken by somebody. So every one of us is feeling life is unfair. So that's the picture that we're in. And instead, we have to shift our consciousness into more togetherness. We're all connected.
How do we do that? How do we shift the consciousness?
Yeah, so that is the key is gratitude. When we appreciate about the money coming in, no matter how much that is, you feel blessed. And when you just spend your money, just feeling that the money you're using, spending, it's blessing somebody, making somebody abundant. That makes you feel very good. So it doesn't really matter how much you have or how much you make or how much you spend. It's just a matter of gratitude. And as long as
yes.
you feel gratitude in your life, or as long as you appreciate all the things, appreciate.
Mm-hmm. I get that. Oprah Winfrey says that all the time, Ken, that the minute she started to do a gratitude journal, her
mm-hmm.
whole company, her whole life turned around and it just boomed. It just became a big confirmation that if you're grateful for the little things and the big things, it'll just keep flowing. It'll just
yes.
keep flowing.
Yes, that is exactly the teaching of the one
yeah.
of the wealthiest men in Japan. And I made it very simple,
yeah.
more like a Zen
way. Wonderful. Wonderful. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just tuning in to America Meditating Radio, I'm having a heart-to-heart conversation with best-selling author Ken Honda, and he's got a new book out called Happy Money, The Japanese Art of Making Peace with Your Money, and we're learning all about how to be more grateful and arigato, very thankful about, you know, the things that we have in our life, and especially the way money comes, but also the way money might go. So, Ken, we feel sometimes that
yes.
money is the problem. You know, a lot of people say that, like you were saying, there isn't a lack. There is a lot of it, but the question is, maybe we're not focusing on the right way. And you say mm-hmm. money is not the problem. We're the problem. What do you mean by that?
For example, a lot of people telling me that they're worried about the money. But when I just talk with them for a few minutes, it's not the money that they're worried about. They're worried about the future with no money because they cannot pay all the bills, they get kicked out of the house, or whatever. But they're afraid of the future with no money. So you have to really differentiate the worry of the money or the worry of the future. They're worried about the future life. So For example, if you have more than 50 friends, you don't have to worry about money. I joke about this all the time. So you can ask your friend number one to let you stay for 1 week, and the second week, number two. And if you have 52 friends, after 1 year, you can come back to friend number one, and then you're financially independent for the rest of your life, right, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so you're just afraid that something bad is going to happen. So it's nothing to do with money, because even if you have $5 million in the bank, you cannot feel safe. For example, I read an article that a wealthy Japanese man who inherited something like $40 million, U.S. dollars, from his father, lost 30 of them. He still has $10 million, but you know what happened to him? He committed suicide because he was so depressed about life. And I tell my audience, how would that $10 million in your bank make you feel? Like, everybody says, happy, you know, I have no problem. But for him, losing $30 million did the, you know, big blow to his psyche.
Wow. It's incredible.
Yeah, so it's,
can you imagine
that, Ken? Matter.
But Ken, can you imagine that you lose $30 million? I get that. But, you know, you still have $10 million in the account, and something in your spirit gets so despondent, so disappointed that you actually would take your life. That speaks volumes about where we are internally in terms of the way we view ourselves, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. So we are so brainwashed around money culturally. It's not just American culture. It's the same in China, Japan, Europe, and all the other countries. We are so afraid of money because we don't know what it is. So that has been my quest for life since I was like 10, that what is money? And unless you know the answer, you're just frustrated with money. But it's not money. It's about your trust about your future. If you can trust your life 100%, you have no worries.
I get that. I know we're coming to a close to our beautiful conversation, and I can't end the show unless we talk about the power of love or fear. A lot of us earn or spend money either in fear or in love. And I'll be just very honest with you. The last 2 years, economically, out of all my decades, I've not worried at all about a penny. And the last 2 years, a lot had shifted with the runnings of so many things going on around me. And we donate a lot as well. Mm-hmm. And so I found that a year had come where we had donated really much more than we were actually coming in, but because we had lost some donors. Long story short, for the first time, Ken, for the first time, I find myself a little bit like, I get this pinch, a little bit of a, what's the word that I want to find? Is it fear or is it uncertainty? That might be connected to fear. But when I have to go into the bank account, I was like, no, I don't want to see it. And it's the first time in decades I've ever felt like that. And I don't necessarily believe I've been developing an unhappy way of earning or spending, and I find it a very unique place for me to be in. Could you help me to really look at, you know, what is it? I mean, is there, you know, how do we move away from the fear mode of bringing it in or spending it?
I can really associate with you that, and before I just share my ideas, I really appreciate and thank you, Sister Jenna, for being so honest. You're so wonderful and beautiful to be able to talk about this. And it's
thank
so
you.
Great. Yeah. And you know, a lot of celebrities talk about this, and I counsel with them. And it's usually the growing pain. You know, I think your size is growing. As I talk about money container, and your money container is growing. So you have to grow with it. So a friend of mine is running a non-profit organization, and she used to do about the budget of $1 million. And now she's doing like $5 million project. And of course, if you have to, you know, grow your organization to $5 million annual budget from $1 million, there's a growing pain. So, Sister Jenna, I think you're in the process of growing. And in order to grow, you have to kind of like shrink first and then grow. So that's the that's the law of the universe. So you're in a shrinking stage. That shows definitely the growth is coming and wait for you and in total open arms. That I've seen it millions of times. So that means...
And that helped a lot.
Great
that
blessing.
A lot. That helped a lot. Thank you.
So I bless you in advance because something greater is waiting for you. I can feel
accepted. It. Accepted. Accepted. So tell me about the whole thing about the love and the fear then. Is it because when there's the fear, we're really moving into the growing pain stage?
Mm-hmm.
And how do we recognize it? There is the love quotient in when we're earning and spending it. Is it just a lot of happiness?
It's just that I think all it gets boiled down to, I think it's trust and love. For example, the other day we did money fundraising for the people who lost their homes in Malibu, California, because we have friends who visited from that area. And then I was, talking to people in front of this donation box. And here she comes. She looks 21, 22, and she had equivalent to $30. And she wonders if she gives out $10 out of 30 from her wallet. And she said, I have enough money to go back home, so I'll donate this money. That's like one-third of what she has. And I thought it's so beautiful. She trusts that she can donate one-third of what she has to charity. That is trust. So it doesn't really matter if you have $10 or $10 million. There comes a time it challenges you that you choose fear or love. And if you trust the future, you can choose love. So I think it's just a matter of testing your trust. And I think it happens
That's
to
beautiful.
Everybody.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful.
So easy practice is when the money comes in, thank the money. And when the money leaves, thank the money. That's as easy as that. And I recommend everybody. It doesn't cost anything, too.
Sure doesn't. It's just for us to stop being so lazy consciously and really start to do it. Are you on a tour? Are you traveling around America sharing more about happy money?
Yes, my book will come out on June 4th, so I'll be probably in North America, but I'm happy with my family in Japan. But I'm looking forward to meeting all the great people in America. I enjoy being in America. I respect this pioneer spirit and hospitality of America. So I look forward to visiting many cities and meeting people and talk about money issues. We share the same problems and same wins at the same time. We're living in such a unique age that our lifestyles are very similar.
I bet they are. They sure are. Well, you know, Ken, I hope you come into Washington, D.C. so we can also host you. And could you leave us with a website that our listeners can get more information about you and your upcoming book?
Yes. Right now, we are building a website. KenHonda.com is a website. Or Happy Money Movement, you can see what I'm doing. I feel a little shy that all my pictures are in there, but I'm very excited that you are going to join us. Happy Money Movement by saying, Arigato da Money. So I hope you start today.
Well, thank you so much. It's been an absolute delight. Arigato gozaimashita, if that's right.
You said it right. Arigato gozaimashita. Thank you so much, everybody. And thank you, Sister Jenna, for this beautiful, beautiful time. I really appreciate it. And I feel so blessed with talking with you.
Me too. Me too, Ken Honda. Thank you so much and all the very best.
Take care. Thank you very much.
What a lovely conversation. And, you know, it is right. We need to be thankful how the money comes and the money goes. We need to be very grateful from the littlest of things to the biggest of things, and to trust and to trust. And boy, am I taking away Ken's words of life for me. It's growing pains. When you go through that moment where it looks like things are shrinking, it's actually your moment to actually expand more. Did everyone get that, which I got? I thought it was very powerful. Well, you know what? I can't end the show without Love and Gratitude, which I'm going to play by Kristen Hoffman. But look, before I close, remember, no one can take away your happiness unless you give them permission. And we really are here to love each other the same. Don't forget to look out for Ken Honda when he comes to America. So somehow, some way, follow him on his website. You can go to kenhonda.com or kenhonda.tokyo and keep up with Ken. He's got something special there going on. And I think every one of us just wants to have mental peace of mind when it comes onto our financial stability. I know that is a fact. We want to feel secure about not only our present, but also for our future. So trust more. I love that virtue. Trust, trust. If you haven't gotten a copy of my latest album, Your Inner World Guided Meditations, please go on to iTunes or Amazon and let me know what you think about it. It takes you on a really beautiful journey of consciousness and brings you more towards the light. Here's Kristen Hoffman. Love and gratitude. Take care, everyone. I'm Sister Jenna. You've been listening to America Meditating Podcast. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Did you enjoy that conversation? Because you can also listen to it on Spotify or in iTunes, 24/7, anytime, anywhere. I do trust we all have inner power to become our very best. When we listen with curiosity to learn more, we grow. So thanks so much for tuning in, and do be easy on yourself. Take care.